All right, welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark. Wow, we have a lot to talk about. It is retail week, and yesterday, Walmart and Home Depot reported earnings. Stocks were higher. Today, Target and Lowe's reported earnings, and we had retail sales data coming out. Well, so we'll see how the markets react to this. Plus, today, the all-important Fed meeting minutes. Plus, we'll show you how our positions are doing. So, lots to talk about. Let's get started. And if this is your first time here, I'm Marcus Hardcutter. This is my head coach, Mark Hodge, and together we have been trading for a long time and have a shit ton of trading experience. And we are real traders. We trade real accounts, live trades here, and this is what where we show you what we do. So if you're looking for a show where we tell you how like it is being a trader, then you are in the right place. All right, Mark, let's get started and let's see of what's happening. I mean, the S&P has just been up, up, up. I mean, this has been the best earnings season rally since 2009.
Pretty impressive, pretty impressive. I know that the Dow was up for 5 days straight. The S&P's been up for 3 days straight and had a little bit of a dip. Otherwise, it would be right there with the Dow with 5 days. So pretty impressive couple of days. And like you said, I mean, just a real nice earnings rally, whether it's totally driven by earnings or just at this point, some money coming in after being hit so hard this year. Who's to know, but I'll take it.
I mean, we're going up, not quite parabolic yet, but pretty steep. I mean, at some point, we need some sort of a retracement. I mean, we talked about the 50% retracement from the top, but also here, if we measure it from the bottom, I mean, it would be kind of healthy to probably go back to at least 4,100 here, retrace a little bit, because this rally is getting, well, almost out of control.
Yeah, up, up, and up usually means that it falls a little more aggressively, right? Not always the case, but retracements within a rally are welcome by traders because, like you said, it's healthy for a move, for there to be some ebb and flow and ups and downs.
Yeah. So this week, I talked about it in the intro, big retail week. So yesterday we had Walmart reporting and we had, wow, look at this, today up again. I mean, that's crazy. And Home Depot, so they reported better than expected earnings and this worked really well. And then today we had Target and Lowe's reporting and Target here at first moving lower because they really disappointed.
Yeah, they missed expectations. So they were hit. Their quarterly earnings was 39 cents a share, which 72 cents was the estimate that was expected. Revenue was in line with estimates, but it did cut prices significantly during the quarter to try and get rid of excess inventory.
And that's what they said pretty much at the last earnings report already, that they want to get rid of the excess inventory, and that's what they have done. Lowe's, on the other hand, following Home Depot here, I mean, up 1.3% in a market right now that is falling. We'll take a look at this in a moment.
Yeah, not too bad there with that move. Like you said, in going against the trend, the overall market, they did have a mixed quarter. So Lowe's reported quarterly earnings of $4.67 per share, which was 9 cents above estimates. Revenue and comparable store sales were below analyst forecasts, but they did predict full year earnings would come in at the top of its guidance range. And I think that's really the key here, right? Forward looking earnings coming in at the top of the expected range. That's a plus.
Absolutely. And then we also had retail sales being reported this morning. And this actually came in also kind of better than expected. I mean, retail sales was unchanged over the previous months, but core retail sales was actually up.
Yeah, and I mean, this is, you see there that unchanged for retail sales versus the 0.1% estimate, but the core retail sales, which excludes automobiles, was up 0.4%, and a minus 0.1% was the expectation there. So not too bad.
And I mean, that's why, so we'll talk about what effect has this on the market, because today the markets are actually down. So looking at the 5-minute chart of the NASDAQ, we're slumping down. I mean, how come? We got better reports from retailers here. We've got retail sales, core retail sales that are coming in strong. So the economy is strong. Why are markets moving lower?
I think it's really kind of three things here. One, buy the rumor, sell the news, right? And so here you have a situation where we've had such a runoff. It's okay to sell. We also have an important report coming out this afternoon. And if the economy is so strong, it goes back to good news being bad news, right? If the economy is so strong, the Fed can be more aggressive with rate hikes because they're trying to balance this inflation concern and worry with the slowdown of the economy by introducing higher rates. And if the economy is doing great, they can be more aggressive. And you go ahead, mention that, Marcus, because that was
yeah,
a
that's
change.
What we're seeing here, right? I mean, we've been talking about the probabilities of the Fed raising interest rates by 0.5% on the left, 0.75% on the right. And it seems that right now there's a 50-50 chance here. So yep. I mean, yesterday it was still 65-35 or 60-40, but now more towards 50-50 because the economy is still strong, as it seems.
It sure seems that way.
All right, let's take a look at our trades and also how we trade this here as we are pulling back a little bit. I mean, first of all, right now, TPR got assigned at 37. I sold calls at 38, and this is doing really well. Yesterday, we closed about the 37. Right now, we were still moving higher here in this market that is moving lower. So this is looking good. If we are above 38 on Friday, I will not only collect the premium. Let me just collapse this. The premium that I've collected here, the $1,350, but an additional $2,700 because I bought TPR for 37 and I bought 2,700 shares and I can sell it at 38. So that's $1 per share times 2,700. That's $2,700 for a total of $4,000. That would not be bad. I would be okay getting called away in this one.
Yeah, you've been in that one for a while and I would be ready to let that one go. It's looks like it's going to pay off nicely.
Yeah. Talking about let this one go, NVIDIA. Whenever we think that this saga is over, it comes right back. So for me, I got assigned 600 shares. Tried to sell calls earlier this week. Did not get the price that I wanted to. And right now, we are moving a little bit lower. So I have to wait before I can sell calls again. And my NVIDIA is your AMD. Super similar story here, right?
Yeah, and kind of kicking myself for not selling calls earlier this week. We talked about it in the mastermind calls, and I know a lot of the group, they decided to take that premium. Looks like that was a good decision, at least for this week. I still don't mind owning AMD. I'm not panicking here, but I was hoping we'd have a little more follow through to that upside, and that just hasn't been the case so far.
Well, keep in mind that today we still have a super important report coming out, the FOMC meeting minutes, that can definitely push the markets around to the upside or the downside. So, I mean, there's still possibilities today to trade it if to the upside we might be able, because this is where semiconductors will benefit from this, where we might be able to sell calls. And if it goes to the downside, we might be able to sell some puts. Because the PFE, I sold it last Thursday, sold the 47 puts. And this one I was able to buy back over the last 2 days. Started buying back on Monday, got split fills, but I closed it with 90% of the profits. So here for the PFE trade, I received $1,040 in premium, bought it back and kept $936 out of this for 4 cents here. So this worked out really well. So I have to remove this. So that's why today we were looking for some possibilities and to sell puts, but nothing really too exciting. A lot of stuff here red flagged, because when we look at it, like Alcoa, yeah, super solid company, but do we want to own it at this strike price at 47? That strike price is just too high, right? And we see this in many others here.
Yeah, I agree, Marcus. I have a couple of maybes flagged and a lot of no's. And it's really because we've had such a strong run up. I'm looking for a little more of a pullback so we could sell call or puts at a stronger support level, or some of these, you know, good stocks that have been beaten up for a while, just establishing more of a support level with a little more trading history rather than just something that's gotten beaten up and you're hoping that support holds. So I was hoping for a little bit more, but this afternoon's report could definitely move the market.
Yeah, and I wanted to bring up Hawk here for a moment because it came up this morning. I only flagged it as a maybe so that I can talk about it here. So Hawk is a stock that I have been trading. I've been selling the 33 and the 34. And you see, often we're being asked, okay, well, what are the stocks that you have been traded in the past? What is your list? Because this is when traders think, okay, if I focus on the stocks that Mark and Marcus have traded in the past, I'll do good. But I mean, things change. This is why we are also resetting this flag, these flags every single week. I mean, look at Hawk right now. What do you think about this? It's still a company that I wouldn't mind owning, but not at a $40 strike price.
Exactly. With that push lower, we made new lows. We kind of have a running joke inside the mastermind group, respect the lows, hashtag respect the lows. And here you see that we've made lower lows. Yes, we're popping back up towards those highs and possible resistance. But as a stock moves and starts to establish new lows, I think you need to respect them. And so what could be a very attractive level, say 40 at one point, it might be that after we've embraced these lows and you know really taken out those lows and seen a slide, it makes sense to target a lower price.
Yeah, I mean, also Blackstone. I mean, we've been trading Blackstone, but this was here at around 110 when we had some solid support. Right now, it just seems that Blackstone here is in a downtrend. So will we have a wedge here or will this downtrend continue? Because right now, if we just draw these lines, I see this continuing in a downtrend. So I don't want to necessarily buy this right now. CLF, another one that we have been trading and doing really, really well during this time here. I mean, this has been great in the beginning of the year. Right around 19 or 20, this is where I've been trading it. But now this has gone crazy and wild.
Yeah, and it's a good point because we might have this great, great wheel stock. And then if market conditions affect that stock or just individual news on that stock, we want to assess that, take that into consideration. Marriott, another example for me, love that trade, picture perfect. Marriott, M-A-R.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Let's bring it up. Yep.
I mean, that trade worked out real nice for me, but I was assigned at 152.50, did a little fun stuff with a 10% pullback, and then it rallied. But now I would want to look at possible support at a lower level because of that dip.
Right. So what we're looking for is, for example, here we see HSBC kind of interesting, but we definitely want the strike price that we can sell at a lower level. And there's two ways to do this. Either we just wait and see until it pulls back a little bit more. Or, of course, you could say, okay, I'm changing my RI instead of 30% to 20%. And usually this gives us more opportunities. And also here, usually we see a little bit lower strike prices, not here on HSBC just yet. But I mean, at this point, I don't see the need to change really the filters and to lower the RI that we are looking for, the return on investment.
Yeah, and this is where traders, sometimes when things get slow, new traders, they freak out and they want to force trades, do things differently, react to what just happened. And Marcus, we look for more of a fundamental shift before we make a decision like that, right? Because it's too easy to get caught up and, oh my gosh, I have some open slots, let me put on some trades. And then a week later, you're really regretting things. Now, if we see that fundamentally we have a different market environment, then maybe a different criteria or filter change would be appropriate.
Yeah, and I mean, we always talk about this. In order to make money with trading, two conditions have to be met. Number one, you have to be ready, and we are ready to trade. We are here, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed every morning looking at the markets. But number two, the markets have to be ready. So you need to make sure that the market is coming to you and that you are not forcing the market to do certain things. That you say, okay, today's the day where I'm going to place a trade because I've been able to place a trade over the last 3 days. And this is why I'm just taking any trade. And Callaway Golf, this is great. I love this company. So let's just do this here. I mean, it's probably a great company, and I probably wouldn't mind trying something here around the $20 strike price, but not at the strike price that just came up around $23. That's
sure.
appealing. All right. One thing that I just wanted to show, talk about craziness. I mean, did you see recently Bed Bath & Beyond? I mean, holy cannoli, meme stocks are back.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. If that could be a sign. If stupid money is going into stupid stocks, then it could be either the end is near where everything's going to go crazy, or maybe risk back on. I mean, this is for anybody who's made money on Bed Bath & Beyond, good for you. But we also know there's the other side of the trade, and some people getting their shirt handed to them. But nice couple of sessions with the meme crowd pushing that higher. And then, Marcus, another one that we just have to mention, Manchester United. Did you hear about that one?
Oh, yes, I did. What is it, Man U? Or...
Yeah, M-A-N-U.
You tell us.
Talk about tweets. So up 4.6% pre-market because Elon Musk tweeted that he was buying the British football team, but then later he said he was joking.
There you have market manipulation. I mean, come on, this is our stock moves 4% in pre-market and now pulling back here. Yeah, and you see, with these crazy stocks, this is where we like to have black flags. So we like to use these black flags on meme stocks and also right now on Chinese stocks, because with the strained relations between US and China, you never know what the Chinese government is trying to do here. I mean, they have been imposing sanctions on their own stocks like crazy, and we also stay away from BioNTech. Or biotech in general, right? Healthcare, biotechnology. So here it looks like a great stock. I mean, this is here great support, but I mean, these healthcare stocks and these biotech stocks, they can just move wildly as we have seen here.
Yeah, and Marcus, this comes back to something that you coined, which I think is great, and that's SRC profits, right? Systematic, repeatable, and consistent, because the traders that got in on GameStop when it ran from 20 to 450 that did well. And again, I heard horror stories, so it wasn't just people making money. But for those that made money on that play, that was a couple years ago now. And chasing that type of move, it's not repeatable. It's not consistent. And I see too many people go down the rabbit hole where they get this, you know, 1,000% gain in such a small time. And they think that that's something that can happen over and over again. And it's just not possible. But systematic, repeatable, consistent profits are possible. And that's what we're after.
Exactly. And if you would like to know how exactly we're doing this, take a look at these videos that we have here for you. This is where you get a good overview. It's only 15 or 16 minutes long. So check this out. And then we'll see you tomorrow morning again.
Happy trading, everybody.